Well, hey, good morning, church. I'm going to ask the youth to go ahead and come down with the kids, but don't slip out to kids' zone. Come on down, and we're going to all gather here on the stage. Austin, can I call you out real quick? I can? So, we're sitting there, we're singing that last song, and we get up to that hallelujah part, and Asya is just going to let it. She jumped in early, right? And she is one of those that's going to proclaim hallelujah no matter who's with her or not. But how much better it is to proclaim hallelujah all together, isn't it? Amen. Well, hey, Bill already touched on this in the Thanksgiving. Man, everybody's come on. Bring the whole church down. Come on. Bill touched on this in the Thanksgiving, but I want to give you guys permission. For me, if I stop recognizing two people, I want you guys to fire me, okay? You good with this? If I stop recognizing Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and just the wonderful work that he does, and then I stop recognizing these wonderful youth leaders that commit themselves to leading these students towards Jesus Christ, you guys just please let me go. It's time for me to go, but what an awesome weekend we have every year. And I just want to say thank you. Let's give a hand to these youth leaders, first of all. I guess we need to give a hand to Jesus Christ too, but that's what we just got done doing with the, but why would you go spend a weekend out of the zone, out of pocket, out of the comfort of your bed, out of the heat with, 35 plus teenagers? Funny story, Asa had that exact question asked of him. He works in the kitchen, and he said one of the line cooks there couldn't understand what he was going to do this weekend. He was going to serve, and he's like, so you're going on vacation? And he's like, no. Not exactly. And just couldn't understand why somebody would give up a weekend to go and just hang out with a bunch of kids in the woods. That sounds sketchy already, but with the purpose of saying, hey, this is important. We need to get together in fellowship. We need to get together and point our lives towards Jesus Christ and bringing him glory. So we did an awesome weekend of that. Our title this week, or this weekend, was The Truth. Our t-shirts say, legit, the truth is out there. Talking about there is an absolute truth. And there's a battle for that right now in today in society. Because where do you guys go for your source of truth? Like, if you want to know what's truly happening in the world, what channel do you turn on? If you want to get an accurate picture of events, what source do you go to? And we argue that the only truth, the only source of ultimate truth is in Scripture. It's in Jesus Christ, and he proclaimed that. So we had four sessions this weekend. The first one we started out with was distorted truth. We all have a distorted view of truth. And it's from the beginning of time. We see Satan entering in the garden, chapter 3 of Genesis, saying, did God really say? He's already trying to take what's true and what's accurate and turn it and twist it. And so we started out in Romans 1 that's saying the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. And it goes on saying by that suppressing the truth, what we're doing is exchanging our purpose of worshiping God, of bringing him glory, to worship creation and created things rather than the one who's to be praised. And so we looked at that Friday night as far as how we believe that truth, how we believe into that distorted truth, that lie that really I should worship myself. There's better things to worship than God alone. And we know that's not true. So we get up Saturday morning, our second session, we begin out with truth that brings freedom. In John 8, Jesus taught and said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And coming to know truth and spending time in God's truth, he reveals in our lives the areas that aren't surrendered to him. And I know I have plenty of those stories where God patiently worked with me and showed me and revealed to me areas that I didn't think I had a problem. And I was in bondage. I was entrapped. I was enslaved to sin. and how just coming to know Jesus Christ and what he longs for is to give us true freedom. And so we went from this bondage and this freedom to our third session, which was building on truth. Matthew 7, Jesus teaches and says, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And we came and we hear truth constantly. We know truth, we see truth, but we have to do something with that truth. We have to put it into action. We have to build upon these principles that Christ has shown us. So we went from there into our last session, which was Sunday morning, and it's sharing the truth, which is a scary part. That's a scary step to go in, okay, well, we see the truth, we know the truth, we're building on the truth. Now that truth is not just meant for us. It's meant for us to go and to proclaim it and to teach it. And we just picked up in John, 1 John 3:16, and it's saying, anyone who has these worldly goods and sees a brother in need but doesn't do anything about it, doesn't have the truth in them, doesn't have the love in them. We should love not just in words, but also in action and in truth. And we started talking about that. We even talked about that some this morning, that how many guys in here would say, it's so much easier for me to love in action? Like if I see a need, I think our church does this so well. As far as like, anybody in here ever received a meal after a surgery or a death? Anybody in here ever made a meal or gave a meal after a surgery or death? That's loving in action. There's a need there. I can love in this way. But the harder part for us is to love in truth. Has anyone in here ever seen someone that needed to know the truth? And that's a little tougher to speak at times. And speaking the truth in love is also a step of growing and maturing. But we had a wonderful weekend just worshiping the Lord. Every year we go, we ask students, hey, what's your favorite part? And often it's worship. You think these kids give up their phones, they give up their comforts. I hope you guys gave up your phones. I didn't see any PlayStations there, so it was awesome. But we give up our entire weekend just to go pursue God along with others that are doing the same. So we get to the place on Sunday night where we just have a wonderful worship service. And basically we ask the question like we do here, why are you here to worship? Why are you here to bring glory to God? What is it that you're coming to thank God for today? I love how each week we start out with that Psalms 100 verse 4 that says what, guys? And we're supposed to do it that excitedly. But I love that we teach that because that is our purpose, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And that's what we're going to do here now. That's what we did on Sunday night. So we just shared a little bit about what we were grateful that God showed us through that week. And we've got some students here that I'm going to let them share a little bit about what God showed them this weekend that you could be encouraged along with us. So I'm going to pass the mic around. And this is always a scary time. First of all, no one likes public speaking. Second of all, how would you like to be responsible for directing and shaping what a teenager shares with the church? But whoever would like to go first? Okay, Thad, awesome. Thank you, bud. Come on down.
What I learned, like, before I went, I thought I had, like, no friends here. But then when I went, I learned that, like, everyone here is my friend and, like, they're my family. So, yeah.
Yeah. An awesome tool that the church family has is showing that first fundamental of the gospel, is that you belong in God's family. And what he's recognizing is that he can see Christ in others, and he feels that love of Christ through others. And sometimes it's a lot easier to get away from the normal patterns of the world and the habits of things. And we get alone and we talk to one another. We share the word together. We share worship together, and we start to feel that love of Christ and through those relationships.
Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna bounce off of that. If y'all know me, I'm a people person. Love being around people. Makes me happy. So, I mean, I was just giving praise and just absolute thanksgiving to God for just the wonderful community and family we have here. To be able to get it together, get away from everything, and just learn with each other, grow with each other, better our relationships. And it's just such a blessing to have every one of these people here and every one of y'all. I just I just want to say I love y'all a lot, and I just love God a lot for that, and I'm just very thankful, and it's such a blessing to have this wonderful communion and relationship with these people.
Awesome. Thanks, Miguel. Yep. Cash, I'm shocked.
Feels good to stand up. good morning. So this was my last winter retreat. I'm a senior. I know I look like I'm in college, but I'm not. So something that we've started to do, when I say we, me, some of the younger, or not some of the younger, but the high school guys and some of the male leaders, is we've gathered together on winter retreat in the mornings as like a small group kind of deal, and Jonathan usually comes, and Bill usually joins in. But as a senior, being able to just sit in the presence of my mentors and like very influential men in my life, and Les likes to ask the hard questions, and Brad does too, but Les asked us the question, what are you struggling with the most? Just blatantly. And I think it was me and Carter that were with them. And just being able to be challenged by men like that who have just poured into us so much, and just being able to be honest with them about what we're struggling with in our faith and our walk with Christ, and just being able to lean on them is just so encouraging and so influential as I go into college, as I go leave this summer to go to camp. Just having those men in my life and just seeing how I have grown up in the youth and being able to talk about the next kids to come up in the youth. Lucy, this morning, we have a youth group chat. Jonah started it, Carter took over, and now Lucy is kind of carrying the new flag, but we'll do morning devotional text, I guess is the best way to describe it. But it's just so cool being able to see what's happening next. And I just wanted to say thank you guys, and I love you guys, and mic drop. Yeah.
What Cash is saying is Les and Brad basically just go, hey, we want to make ourselves available. We can't sleep past 4 o'clock anyways. So we will be down in the common area at 5 o'clock on for whoever would like to join us. And each year, a few of these guys have made it a purpose to get up and be down there at 5 o'clock in the morning and just share life with these guys. I think of that proverb, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And you just see that happening there in that discipleship and that mentorship. So who's next?
I'm Aubrey. So piggybacking off of what Cash said, I'm just so thankful to have leaders and mentors in the youth that pour into me. It's one thing to have peers and people of the same age that you confide in, that you talk about issues with, but probably most of the time they're not going to give you the godly advice that you need in those moments. And I've learned that as like, I feel like I can speak for everyone when I say this, that when you're going through issues, you tend to think that you are the only person that's going through that issue. And you think that you're the only person who's had that happen to you, but that's not true. And I'm so thankful to have mentors in college, adults, that have gone through the same things that I've gone through, that have gone through the same sin that I've gone through, etc., that were able to pour into me. And that's something that I'm so thankful for, and not most people don't have that, but I can confidently say that I do have that. And just having those leaders pour into me is just so encouraging. Yeah.
It's vital that we get to see someone walking with the Lord. And as we walk, we start to see these principles and these truths that God patiently and sometimes through the difficult circumstances and results of those poor choices reveal to us and show us. How many guys learn much better through making the mistakes yourselves? But we don't want the ones we love and the ones coming after us to learn it that way. So we can walk with them and encourage them in the way that we say, man, God has so much better for you. Let's point towards the truth. Into the less when you're done there.
Oh, geez. Okay. So something that I was thinking a lot about was probably my favorite conversation I had over the weekend was with Les and Brad, who are our wisest, oldest members of the group that were there. And you know, I'm turning 30 this year, and I'm feeling that in my knees and my back every day now. But audible groan. Okay, I love it. But the best thing is. I got to hear them talk about like how they watched me and how they watched like Isaac and a lot of the guys in that group grow, and I'm kind of getting to see that now with people like Asa and Cash and Aubrey and Jackson, and you know, I can name everybody here. And mainly I just wanted to say, like, I'm just really, really proud to see these kids really genuinely seeking. There's a whole lot of I had more than I can count on both hands conversations this weekend with different kids, and they all brought up God. Like, and they were very, like, intentional about bringing it up. There was no, I didn't have any conversations that felt like, oh, I better bring up God because I'm talking to a leader. There was none of that. And I just want to say, like, to any of the parents in here who see your kids up here, I mean, your kids are fantastic. I mean, they're genuinely trying to find how to navigate having a relationship with God and what is probably one of the hardest times to do it at their age. And I'm proud of them. I'm sure you guys are too. And just God is really working through our youth. So that's all.
I'm not going to even try to get up. Yeah, I have been blessed very much so with the youth. And by God. How many of you have tried to raise teenagers? Okay, how many of you were teenagers? Okay. Can you imagine getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and meeting with Grandpa to discuss life or even God? Yeah, that's what some of these kids do. And it's been a blessing. It's also been a blessing. Mr. Tim and I have been working with the middle school boys for a few years. And just this past year, we were talking about praying. And we talked about when to pray or how to pray, things along that line. And one of the things that was brought up by one of the youth was that you need to pray first thing in the morning. Start the day off with prayer. And I wasn't doing that. So I made it a point to start every morning with my first cup of coffee in prayer, spending time with God. And it's amazing. It's amazing how he's answered those prayers. It's amazing how my relationship has grown with him. And I want to let you know, it's great to be learning from the kids. So pay attention sometimes. Thank you.
Well, just going into this winter retreat, I got a text from Les saying, what's one thing one goal that you want to achieve over winter retreat? And first thing I could think of was, man, I just really want to hear the voice of God. And, you know, I was looking for that, like, that really verbal, like in the Bible when they're talking about, like, oh, like, God, you hear this big, loud voice of God. But what I heard was all of these people around me, like, saying these words of encouragement and just talking to me. And that's the way I heard God. Kind of like Thad was saying, just seeing all the friends that I have out there, just seeing all the people that care about me, especially in that 5:30 meeting with meeting, small group with Les and Brad and Jonathan and Pastor Bill, just talking. I mean, it wasn't like super, super deep stuff, but it was like amazing. Just with all these guys that have been through stuff that I'm gonna go through one day. Just wisdom and, you know, just preparing me for college. I mean, I'm a senior, so it's right around the corner. Scary, but I'm just grateful for the youth that we have here. And if I could say one thing to these sixth graders, it's man, you guys are set up. Got it. All right.
My favorite part of winter retreat was singing the song, "Who Else? Who Else is Worthy? Only You, Jesus." And I've listened to that song all week because I love it so much. But I was reading in Matthew 5 last night, and there at the very end of that chapter, it says, "Be perfect as God is perfect," and or "Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." And I was like, I read that over and over, and I was like, boy, it's really hard not to be a hypocrite, because, you know, as soon as I think I'm doing a little better, then I get pride, and then I'm a hypocrite all over again, you know? So I just kept thinking about that, and this morning I got up and I listened to a message about that, and I just had to go back to the truth of God's word that, you know what, it just, all these things came to my mind, that back to that song, "Who's Worthy? Nobody else is worthy but Jesus." And he's the only one that's worthy, and I'm not. And so then I started thinking, whew, thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for taking my sin on you so that I can be clean and pure and whole. And thank you again for rising from the dead, and thank you that you're alive. All those truths I've learned from the Bible. And when I just read that verse about "be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," I can feel condemned, but then I go back to God's word, and then I think of all those things and the great salvation God's given me, and then just relief floods my soul. And I'm just thrilled and thankful that, you know, that I have the truth, and that Jesus made a way that I could be set free, and I'm condemned, and that the only way I'm worthy is through Jesus, and he gives that to us, and I'm thankful for that truth.
Awesome. Get this out of Bill's hand real quick. No, what do you guys see when you look up here? You out there. Hope? The body of Christ, yeah. Togetherness? I see those things. You see from 11 to 70-somethings up here and everything in between, and I love that. I love that you see the body of Christ, you see the family, you see community, and you see maturity and immaturity, and I'm in the immaturity most of the time, but you see one another willing to push one another towards truth, encouraging one another to go and be all that God's called you to be. I'm thankful and grateful for the family of God in that way, for sure. Anyone else? That side was really heavy, so we need to work it back over here a little bit. You see God? Good.
This week we were talking about, like, legit, which I was not impressed with that theme, but it turned out pretty well. But no, we were talking about, like, just the lies we believe and how, like, God is the truth. And coming into Winter Retreat, there were a lot of lies in my head, the main one being that I thought I was alone. And yeah, I was not in a good space coming in, and that was, I wasn't expecting much. But just the way God restored me over this retreat, I think. I had a lot of opportunity to be outside during our devotional and just look out and see everything God's done. I love seeing the rain. I know that's an unpopular opinion, but I love just seeing how God's done that, because you know it's intentional. You know, like, I look out and I think, like, God had a million options for what it would look like today, and he looked and he said, like, I'm gonna make it rain, and it's so intentional, and he knows what that means to me, and he did it on purpose. And it just, I was just so amazed with seeing who God is over this retreat. And I was really encouraged Sunday night. We're all sharing, like, how we've seen God working. And during one of the worship songs, one of the guys went down to the altar. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then another one followed him. And another one, and another one. And I was just so in awe of the community we have. And then I looked up again, and there was one of the girls down there. And I was like, well, I guess the Lord has... And then everyone just follows. And it was just so amazing. Like, I walk down, and then I feel more hands on my back, and I feel more just, like, everyone at the feet of God. And it was just so amazing, because I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one, not the only one, I just thought no one else was there for me. You know, like, everyone's like, I'm a senior. I'm not a senior. Everyone's leaving. But that's not true. We're all part of the family of Christ, and that was something I really felt like God really just showed me, like, you're not alone through being outside, through being with all the people here. God has just shown me that, like, he is there, and he has restored my soul, and he has shown me who he is and his family.
Cash, I'm a senior. But Les, I mean, Grandpa, do we have to really evoke the Grandpa thing? I've got to tell you about Sunday night. I'm just going to give you a glimpse. Maybe I'll tease you just a little bit. That on occasion, Sunday night is lightly referred to as a cry fest. And there was a little bit of crying. I think Tim really started out when he said, I'm just thankful to be here. And Tim, when you were hugging your daughter, I'm going, this is pretty amazing. But I will tell you that there were 20 little talks. Some of them we understood. Some of them were too steeped in crying to understand. But I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit was moving, and you could see it, you could feel it. And I don't know why I did this, but I looked around, and Bill and Robin were way in the back. They were not up in the front, which most of us were there, even the old people. And I thought this, Robin's got to be saying to Bill, look at this. Here's our people. No. Here's God's people. This is the future of our church, whether here or out there. And it's gratifying to see you all work in concert. Everybody, from the youngest to the oldest. It was a good day.
Come on down, Ezra.
So on the way here, I wasn't really sure if I was going to go. And I was really unsure about speaking, especially because I was just checking the weather. Every time it would say, there's 100% chance of hail. Of course, you know, I came out here in just like a slight drizzle. But I think God just really wanted me to come here, especially to Winter Retreat as well. I think like months before, like when it was first announced, Mr. Les was just saying to me that he really wanted me to go, and I had went to Camp Livingstones before with another church, but I mean it was fun, but it didn't feel special, and I think this was just really, really great.
Ezra is a sixth grader, just came up to the youth, and Deb has been bringing him. Family goes to Christway, and it's awesome because Ezra's testimony, we're like, why don't you go to church? They're like, Ezra, why don't you go to church somewhere else? That's not it. But it's like, why don't you go to Christway? And he said, man, there the teachers are always just telling the kids, hey, sit down, listen up, be quiet. Like, and here we actually get to, your teachers get to teach, and I get to learn something, which is wow. I mean, that wasn't what I was thinking in sixth grade. So I'm just impressed by the maturity of our younger. We've got a younger group this year, and God really used it this weekend in my life to encourage me to go, hey, like Brad's saying, there is a future here, and there's good things happening here. There's a great community of love between these younger students, and man, that's going to be a force that God's going to use to grow his kingdom, to make an impact. So I was encouraged this weekend just by some of our younger students as well. Anyone else? I want to cut you off. No one? In the corner.
It was really a cool opportunity to go on winter retreat. We kind of mix up the groups. So, you know, I had a bunch of guys in our group, middle schoolers, and it's just to hear their perspective. And one thing that I have come to understand in with our youth is, you know, we always think like we've all been there, like we've all been in middle school, we've all been in high school, but this generation faces things that we never had to face, and they're very aware of it. In our discussion, we talked about things like AI and really not being able to see something or hear something and know that it's true. And you know, you have this group that's middle school, and I had Ethan and Miguel and Terry, and just different ages and different backgrounds. And yet, one thing that we looked up was, our verse was that Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. And truth isn't a thing, it's a who. And that we have access to the Father through Jesus, and that it comes through a relationship. You know, he says, not all that call me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom, but that he knows you, and that it doesn't matter if you're a sixth grader or a 46-year-old, we're all learning what it means to have that deep relationship, because our inheritance is him, it's not a place. And to be able to hear your children, your grandchildren, your children's friends, to recognize that they look around and they see a world that's hurting and broken and dying and in need of a savior. And them recognizing that truth is really only comes through my relationship with Jesus. And you know, I think that is something that, I don't know, was encouraging to me as a leader, that my heart needed to hear as well.
Yeah. Jesus prayed later on in John, in chapter 17, it says, sanctify them in truth. He says, your word is truth. And it is a person. It is Jesus Christ alone that we come to find and know what life is about, what our purpose is for, what truth really is. And every year, retreats tend to have that emotional kind of pull to them, that swelling. You're losing sleep. You're focused. You've lost some distractions. So you're focused on what you should be focused on. And emotion's not bad. We try to guard against it being purely emotional. We try to, like Jesus was telling the woman at the well, God is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. And so we try to combine both those together. And I've seen them grow. I've seen us all grow and just kind of taking steps of faith, moving towards where we should be heading. And one big step that was taken this weekend, one of the greatest news is, Jacoby, would you stand up for me? Jacoby committed his life to following Christ this weekend. So which is the best news. That's the greatest truth, that he came down from Sunday night and Tim saw him in the cabin and started sharing with him, talking with him, and got the scripture out, got the truth out, and had Jacoby read through the truth. And Tim asked a question we've heard Bill ask several times. Do you feel like God's speaking to you? And he said, he shook his head, yes. And he says, do you know what he wants you to do? And he said, no. And he's like, well, can I help you with that? And they read God's truth together. And Jacoby has committed his life to serving Christ. And next week, we're going to celebrate that with baptism. So just awesome steps that we've all taken. And that's a huge step. That's the first step into living a life that's going to share truth, that's going to bring glory to God. So if there's no other news, if there's any news or any sharing that can top that, let's see it. I would love to hear it. But with that, I'm going to close this in prayer, and we'll go this week and live true. Well, Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the work that you do. Lord, the design that you have, Lord, even as Riley was attesting to, that we can know your sovereignty, we can know your power, we can know all about you just by looking at nature. It tells us that men are without excuse because of how you've made yourself known through creation. But Lord, we praise you that you've given us another revelation. And that was through your word. That was through your son, Jesus Christ. And that we can know you intimately. That we can know you as our Father. That we can know you as our Savior. That we can know you as the truth. So God, I just pray that these steps that we took this weekend, Lord, will continue to encourage us to live by that truth, to walk closer to you, Lord, that you would use it today. The truth of your message, the truth of your hope, the joy that's found only in you would encourage our church, or that we could all walk, as Ephesians 4 tells us, a life of truth, in the spirit of truth. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given to us to guide us and lead us and teach us. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.